One of the implications of the fact that God created the universe is that he has continuing authority over it. In fact, he has unlimited and final authority over everything he has made, over everything that exists. Admittedly, this can be an unsettling thought because so many terrible things happen in the world. Should God's authority and power frighten us? Should they comfort us? Should they anger us? And how should Christians feel about the fact that God has ultimate authority over everything?
I think when some people hear that the Bible teaches that God has ultimate authority over everything that happens in the world, they feel maybe threatened by that, they feel resentful. But Christians, really, when we think about who God is, should feel incredibly thankful. It means that our lives are in the hands of an all-wise, almighty, all-loving Father who has given his own Son for us on the cross. And that is such an incredible, incredible comfort in times of suffering in particular, in times when we wonder what is happening in our lives. Consider the alternatives. What if what happens in our lives and everything that happens in world history were not in the control of a personal, just, merciful, loving, wise God? Of course, many people in the world think that it's not in anybody's control, that it's a random, chaotic, perhaps driven by impersonal, naturalistic forces. That gives no hope. That gives no reason for comfort. That certainly gives no meaning to suffering. If it were true, we'd have to live with it, but happily it's not true. Or consider the view that history and our own experience, everything that happens, is in the hand of an unpredictable tyrant, and we never can guess what he's going to do next, or what he expects, or what he demands. That would be terrifying. Or even consider if everything were in the control of a deity who is just, but who has no mercy whatsoever, who would deal with us fairly in terms of our behavior, but from whom we could never expect any forgiveness, any kindness, if we failed to hit the mark, if we missed the mark, as we all do. Again, that would be a very bleak prospect. We couldn't complain that we were getting injustice, but at the same time, there would be no hope. But we actually live in a universe that is ruled by a personal, sovereign God who is never unjust, but who is better than just in Christ. He satisfies his justice, his just indictment against us through the death of his own beloved Son, and grants to us grace. And we can have assurance that he has control of all the details of our lives, so that when we're going through suffering, intense suffering, and we don't understand the reason for it, we don't despair. We have reason to hope that it is meaningful, that it is part of his good plan to conform us to the image of his Son. As Paul says in Romans 8, no matter what happens, that is the plan that he's working out and will accomplish. And that we can have that assurance that suffering is not only meaningful, but it is ultimately temporary. That the day is coming when God will wipe every tear away from the eyes of those whom he's given to Jesus and who now have entrusted our lives to Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. That day is coming when all the things that confuse us and distress us and cause us such pain will come to a close. And not just in a cessation, but in a crescendo of joy being replaced by the joy of celebrating Christ's victory with him forever.
I think the Bible is very clear that God is sovereign over all that occurs, that he is the Lord. The Bible says that God moves the king's heart in whichever way he wishes. Now, I think at the end of the day, virtually all Christians acknowledge there's a mystery there. God is sovereign over all that occurs, but human evil is real. It is not a charade. Human beings are not puppets. at the end of the day. So we're not minimizing human evil and saying that God is sovereign, because some people find it very disturbing to think that God rules over all things and then to think of the horrific things that occur in life. But we rely on the scriptures themselves for our understanding of reality. And the scriptures tell us that the judge of all the earth always does right, that God does not sin, that God doesn't tempt people to sin. So those are some false paths that we need to watch out for when we speak of God being sovereign over all things. That doesn't mean God tempts us to sin. That doesn't mean that God is the author of evil. That doesn't mean that God himself is evil in any way. If someone were to say, well, I don't fully comprehend it, my response would be, I don't think anyone fully comprehends how all of these things can be so. I would actually argue that God being sovereign over all things is of a great comfort. The world is not spinning out of his control. Even if we don't understand all things that are happening, if you belong to Jesus Christ, God is your Father. And he loves you, and he's protecting you, and he's watching over you no matter what you're going through. And some things we go through in this life are incredibly painful. But no matter what you're going through, he is in control. He has even, can you accept this at this point in your life? He has even appointed this for your good, for your sanctification. God turns the enemies in our lives, he turns them into our friends so that we more than conquer through him who loved us. We don't just conquer. It says that we more than conquer through him who loved us. So God takes the trials and difficulties and he uses them to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. He brings the things he brings into our lives so that we will be like Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. He disciplines us as a kind and wise and good father. I think the fight of faith is often fought exactly at this point. We have to say to ourselves over and over again, God cares for me. And even if I don't understand it, he is bringing this into my life for my good, for my holiness, for my sanctification. He is the king of the universe. The alternative vision, I think, is actually quite discouraging. The things that come into our life, God is up in heaven saying, I wish I could help you, but there's nothing I can do. These events that are striking you are beyond my control. We are then at the whim of other human beings and demons and impersonal forces. I don't think that's comforting at all.
As Christians, we acknowledge the lordship of God, the lordship of Christ, the lordship of God, the Holy Trinity. God is king. He rules over everything. He is the creator. He predestines. All things happen because he wills them to happen. We acknowledge the sovereignty of God. It underlines for us the distinction between God and the rest of creation, including ourselves. We are not gods. We were created to serve him, to give him glory, to worship him, to obey him, to live as disciples for him. It's what being a Christian means. It's one of the first things we say when we become a Christian. We call Jesus Lord. We refer to him as Kurios in the Greek New Testament, which was the word they translated in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was the word they used to translate the divine name of God. Jesus is Lord, is the ultimate profession that a Christian makes.
The Old Testament, as the New, resists any inclination to restrict God's rule, his mastery, his sovereignty, to any particular facet or corner of creation. The abiding testimony of the Bible is that God rules over all because he made all and has never finally ceded authority or ownership of his all to anybody or to anything. And so we can say that he is king, to use an ancient political metaphor, very unfamiliar to us in democratic modern societies, but nonetheless, we can grapple with it. He is king over all creation and over all people in that he does exercise final rule. But having said that, we have to reckon with the reality of a broken, rebellious world and broken, rebellious people who resist being subject to any king, any ruler, no matter how benign and well-intentioned and full of blessing that that ruler is. And so people do resist God's kingship all the time and declare themselves not to be subjects of the living Lord. But he still is king. He still is Lord. And in time, the prophets teach us to expect and to pray, as do the Psalms. The heavens and earth themselves will clap their hands, and the whole earth will be full of his glory. And those who fear the Lord and know him will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. And so I rest, we rest in God's kingship, even as we wait for it to appear in an unquestionable way in his own time.